privilege to have the head coach of the number two ranked team in the Atlantic Division, number two ranked team in the Eastern Conference, John Cooper from the Tampa Bay Lightning. Welcome to our home.
We've had
you on a lot of times, but never in here.
This is a big home. It's pretty impressive what's gone on in here. Doesn't look this big on TV.
Home of Hockey Night in Canada and Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey and all of our regional coverage with the double-decker set here. Tonight against the Toronto Maple Leafs, coming off the big win last night. Where are you with your team right now? And obviously battling for a conference lead.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I'm really happy with the compete of our team. And that's one thing, it's unbelievable because I think about last year when we were at this stretch and some of the injury problems we ran into, especially with our goaltender going down. And to think that in a lot of situations, this is kind of reinventing itself and happening again.
Now, you're not going to start Ben Bishop tonight and temp face.
Well,
yeah. Are
you? Well, you have to show up tonight to find out.
Because it was right around this period, right, when Bishop went down last year?
Actually, and it was. And it was against Toronto.
In Toronto. Yeah.
So you've probably spelled who's not playing tonight. but in all seriousness, it's just been a crazy situation here with some of the defensemen that have gone down. And hopefully none of them are really, really long term. But it'd be really nice to make sure we get to put our best foot forward when playoff time comes. But really happy with the compete of our team. They've somehow find a way when a little bit of adversity hits or we drop a game or two, they kind of dig their heels in and come out of it. And I think that's why we're having some of the success, because you can't really go on those prolonged losing streaks. You can lose one here, lose two, and then you win three, four in a row, and that's what keeps you in it. And we've been able to do that this year.
Montreal 4-0 sweep last year. You know, granted, it was, you know, there was the Bishop issue, a goaltending issue and all that. But what about this year, the way that you've been able to control and play them?
5-0.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny, too, because in the regular season, I think we were 3-0-1 against them last year.
Right.
So I don't know. There's one thing, and I've said this before. Even if we had Ben Bishop, I'm not going to sit here and say we would have beat the Montreal Canadiens last year. I watched those games at length during the season. It's pained me. But they were better than us. And maybe we take a game or two, but I don't know if we were going to win that series. I think part of this, too, is you can sit here and say, well, it's an 82-game season. Every game is just 2 points. But let's be honest, the Montreal games are a little bit more than
that. You know, I agree with you, because we covered that series very closely. And to me, it was almost like a bit of a deer in headlight kind of scenario. And how much better do you think the group is because of that experience of going through – losing like you did against Montreal?
I know it was just 4 games. Our playoffs lasted 6 days, which is kind of unbelievable, but I can't believe how much we learned in that. Our young guys, there's a different attitude. There's a moxie where all those guys are a year older. Nikita Kucherov's completely taken off. He was a healthy scratch for 2 of those games. And all these guys have made this conscious decision. We're not going to have this sophomore slump. But I think you got to give Steve Yzerman a ton of credit. I think the one that goes under the radar is the Jason Garrison trade. Mm-hmm. He has been absolutely a horse for us. He handles every big, strong forward that comes down. Coburn played in a Stanley Cup final. Strahlman, Boyle, Morrow, all these guys have played deep into playoffs, and that's what we needed. And so our team's kind of transition is a little different.
John Cooper's with us on Hockey Central at noon. Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McLean on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, simulcast on the NHL Network in the United States. You went through a couple of tough stretches last year. Compare the playoff sweep against the Montreal Canadiens and what you learned there to what your group had to endure when Stamkos went down. Because I'm sure that had to offer its own challenges in its own way.
Two different things. One, when Stammer went down, we were also new and wet behind the ears, including myself in the league. I'm not so sure we knew what had hit us. And I think there was a little bit of a pity party myself 24 hours after that. And then it was like, okay, how are we going to make this team better? And I think the day Stammer went down was kind of an eye-opening experience, because it allowed other guys, kind of, we just had to unleash these young guys, and we found out what they had. And I think in a horrible situation, we've turned it into somewhat of a positive till he got back. Then the playoff thing was, that's just experience. And you've been there before. The playoffs in the regular season, you can say what you want. It's way different.
So I'm not an analytics guy, okay? But I watched this Johnson line play last week or week and a half ago, and I look at them and I say, just a minute, the three of them are plus 100 almost, plus minus whatever it means. And I look and Stamkos is a plus three. How is this line a plus 100? I get matchups and I get maybe they're against, but this line plays so damn fast. They read off each other so well. I mean, I was mesmerized watching that line play. They were that good.
They are that good. And I've been extremely fortunate to have Johnny and Palat my whole pro career. So I've been able to watch them and I've, I guess the smart thing that I've done is not split them up, but, finding the other guy, that was the key. And Cooch came into his own. And the one thing is the hockey IQs are off the chart. And I think when you watch these kids play, their 6 foot support of each other is phenomenal. And you hit it on the head.
What's that mean?
They play the game. Well, you look at guys that cycle pucks down walls and guys are rotating around. They don't have to do that. They just put pucks in areas. And and guys are, they're scissoring. They're all over the place. And it's really, really hard to defend. And it's not something that everybody can do. And those three guys, they know where they are. They sit, we sit in meeting rooms and they just talk about it. And all of a sudden, I'm trying to say something and you just let those three guys go. And all of a sudden, you're learning from them. And it's pretty impressive. But the key is they play the game so fast. And they just don't let other teams, don't give teams time to set up and structure. And it really helps.
Now, Howard Dolgan told me he told you to put
Howard
that line
Dolgan.
Together. It wasn't Howard?
Yeah. That he said to put that line.
Tell everybody who Howard is.
He owns Syracuse Crunch.
He does.
And he takes.
Oh, Howard's going to be off the charts.
He takes credit for the development of John Cooper.
And you know what? You'll be using.
I hear from him probably once a month. Didn't I tell you about Cooper?
You know what he'll be using tonight, Mac? Six foot support. That's what they'll be talking about tonight.
Exactly. Well, I got to get up on the terminology.
You know, a lot of coaches that have to be patient now because it's so difficult to improve a hockey club. You got to draft. That's what Mac's been saying. Yeah, and you got
to
draft well. But then every once in a while, something falls out of the sky, like a Tyler Johnson
or Palat,
right? And that's how you truly get better, quicker.
There's no question. I think one of the big ones too is we got Ben Bishop. That trade was kind of solidified us on the back end. But the signings of Schuster, JT Brown, Tyler Johnson, those are all free agent signings that play on our team and have really, really helped.
Isn't it bizarre you draft a Conley 7th overall and in the same draft you draft a Palat in the 7th round? Like it just doesn't make sense, but that happens in the game and you look
We don't recommend that strategy for everybody.
No, but you look at so many teams and late round guys become real important players on teams and it was a great selection.
It's what happens with that's where your depth comes in and your scouting staff. And I think Palat, correct me if I'm wrong, he might have gone through, that was his second draft year too. Yeah. So now all of a sudden he's 400th and something picked.
Yeah.
But he's been a phenomenal acquisition for us. And I look at guys like Cedric Paquette, he's a 4th rounder. Killorn's a 3rd rounder. Some of these guys have gone deeper in the draft, have really, really helped their team.
And, you know, we mentioned the draft and in a perfect world, you're lucky enough to be Calgary and get 25 and 30 goal seasons out of Sean Monahan. Others have to be patient. That's been the case with Jonathan Drouin, correct?
There's no question.
A little slower in the process, but you feel he'll get there.
I think the one thing we have is we have a deep forward group. And so Jonathan Drouin is, to watch his development this year has been phenomenal. And there's one thing I had to learn, how to be an NHL coach. I knew how to be a hockey coach. I didn't know how to be an NHL coach. That's what I learned last year. And all these players come in, especially teenagers, they have to learn how to be NHLers. And it's just a different league, the time and space and things you learn when what players you're going against. And it takes time. But anybody that watched last night's game and watched that goal he scored.
Like, seriously.
You can't teach that.
But he's got three.
He scores that goal. And then I'm thinking, that's his second goal in 48 games?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, how the hell does that happen when he scores a goal like this and he went 48 games without a goal? Is that what it was?
Well, one of the things about Joe is he's got so much skill. But some of these players, I hate using the word selfish. And you never want to be selfish. But some of these players, you have to tell them, hey, you got to be a little bit more selfish here. Shoot the puck. Because Joe's had some opportunities to shoot. And he's always trying to set somebody up. And He's getting that little bit more of a shoot first mentality, and when he gets that in his head, you're going to see his goal count go.
John Cooper is with us on Hockey Central at noon. When you say you learn how to be an NHL coach, what does that translate into?
That translates into me, when I get off the bus, not have to fake look at my phone and wait for the players to go ahead so I know where the locker rooms are. that's what happened in the beginning of my career. And everything, the off ice, the just as I said, like where to go in the rinks, knowing the referees, knowing the other coaches, that takes time. And there is a pecking order. You feel it when you're a rookie coach in this league. And we've had a little bit of success, so now it's kind of, I feel like I'm, you know, kind of getting into the old boys network a little bit, but still, like, these guys are so good at what they do. And I thought I was pretty good at what I did, but until I coached against these guys, I was like, ooh, I'm behind.
You know, we had a great conversation during that first round series last year against Montreal, because you jumped into the scrum when Steven Stamkos was doing
an interview. Yeah, I'm not going to hear the end of that one.
And I loved it. I thought it was a real casual moment.
Well, there's one thing, and I guess I've had a different journey to the NHL. Mm-hmm. I've kind of stayed to who I am and what I do. Do I have some fun sometimes? Maybe. But the one thing people in this league, and general manager in this league said to me, you've got here for a reason. Don't change. And I've taken that to heart. And not that I'm going to be jumping in scrums anytime soon, but I guess that was...
Were you surprised at how much that
I do that
turned into?
I do that in Tampa, and would probably never heard of. Mm-hmm. But I did it in Montreal and in the playoffs.
A little bit more
down
attention.
Down 3-0, there was a little bit of tension.
A little bit more attention.
Darren liked it. I didn't like it. But that's just the way it is, you know? And like you say, you do it in Tampa.
But your player would have given you a no comment.
But yeah, except, you know, when you're in the playoffs, it's just, I thought it was a little different. That's all. What is the pressure like this year? You know, last year you make the playoffs, you have a great year. This year you've come back with another great year. Expectations at playoff time. And with that said, John, it's just like, how do you know? Because it's so tight.
I mean,
who's the favorite? Exactly.
Who is the favorite?
Right.
I have no idea. It doesn't matter if we finish with 108 points and I don't know who's going to be, say, whoever the eighth seed has 90. I don't think you can sit here and say, oh, they have more points, they're going to win. Like,
Show me the roster and who's healthy, and I'll give you a better idea.
Right. Exactly.
In 10 days.
It's
and maybe goaltending.
Health and goaltending are key. And that's not to put pressure on goalies. You shouldn't, because I know, you know, I've talked to Steve Eisen about this, and he said, we've had situations where our goaltenders just had to be okay, and we still could have won. Right. Those are rare, rare teams. You think about, okay, so if your goaltender just has to be okay, he still has to come up with the key save at the key time. And the other part of that is, you know, like our team synergy and how we're going. We have a different group of guys. I'm not going to sit here and say how we're going to do in the playoffs, but we've got a lot of guys that have now gone deep into playoffs, have played important games, and I think that goes miles. And now with our young guys, they're a year older. They had the sting from last year, and hopefully that'll help us out.
You know, if we go back to the Marty St. Louis Callahan trade or that situation, mm-hmm. like that was something that could have derailed very quickly.
You had an eventful first year, didn't you?
not just on the ice, but off the ice as well. And the perception and knowing what season tickets mean to a market like that, and how, boy, oh boy, it was a kind of a difficult situation. Now you look back on it and Stevie Eisenman couldn't have done a better job. The Rangers are happy mm-hmm. with what they're getting out of Marty St. Louis. You guys, I watched Callahan score that game-winning goal against the Florida Panthers, I think, last week. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, what a player here. But can you take us back to those trying days and really what it was like back then and how it's turned out?
Well, as Darren was saying, like, that was to go through, so many things happened during my first full year in the league. And the one thing I can always say about Marty St. Louis, regardless of what happened off the ice or his reasons why he wanted to leave, he never translated that on the ice. That kid, he played 100, gave 100% all the time in practice. And he was, it was great. It was a pleasure to coach him. But you could tell he wanted to leave. And so how are you going to make that trade when there's only one team on the table and, you know, the way contracts are set up? And I think Steve did one heck of a job. And The one thing about, I guess, for us, it was a turn the page from the kind of the old regime to the new, and that was a big part of it. The Rangers made out. They went to the Cup Final, and Marty's having a great year for him. We haven't skipped a beat. Ryan's been phenomenal. He signed back with us, which was the big gamble, what we needed. He's a big-time leader on our team, and I think it worked out for everybody, but I'll be honest, if that month wasn't trying, because I remember that night in Winnipeg when everything went down, and it was tough, because you're sitting here thinking, well, you lost Stamkos. Now there's a good chance you're going to lose Marty. And you're thinking, wow, your first gig in the league, and this is what you're going through. But it all worked out.
Where does Bishop? You know, you've watched his development now mm-hmm. for a few years. I mean, it was a big acquisition. He's always had a pretty good reputation. Where is he now in the goaltending elite in the NHL?
Well, he's way more mature. I'll tell you that. And I don't mean that. And he's an immature kid. He's a more mature NHL goaltender. And it's funny, go back to the North American Hockey League days when. Yeah. Bishop knocked me out of the playoffs when
I
he was
remember watching
with
a fight
Texas.
In Dallas one night in the center ice.
They
did
a lot
see
of
that fight.
That league,
oh my god,
a lot of that went on in the league. But I loved that league. But I've just watched the growth in his maturity. And the one thing about goaltenders, you can stick 18-year-olds in this league, and they can survive if it's 12 forwards or 6 defensemen. It's hard to put 18-year-old, 19, 20-year-old goalies in this league. They have to have a real mental maturity, and I think that's where Ben has really matured. And he's got a work ethic, and I've just watched all that growth. And even when he comes to the bench in a dicey game, like, he'll be in the guys' faces in a positive way. He says, just get the next one. I will stop these pucks. And he exudes a confidence that way, and you want to see that in a guy.
Steve Thomas still riding the cruiser, the bike to
he's got
to the
cruiser,
rink?
Yeah. What are those called?
Beach cruisers.
Yeah, he's got a little. Beach cruiser. I think it's pink.
It was funny last year in the playoffs. He grabs Nick, and he's like, I got to show you my bike. I got to show you my
so
bike.
So proud of it. So proud of it.
Is it really pink?
No.
No.
It's a baby. Sky blue.
I wouldn't laugh
Tampa
at
it. Tampa blue.
Let me ask you about Stamkos. Is it possible that the second leading goal scorer in the NHL today is having an off year scoring goals? Because I think his 40 could easily be 55 right now, or 60. There are some nights when you go, I can't believe he didn't, you know, it's almost puck luck or, you know. But he's got 40, which is phenomenal. Yeah. But still, you go, that guy every night has a chance to score a hat trick.
There's no question. He's, I don't know, you're here, like, who's got the it factor? Yeah. Well, he's got the it factor when it comes to scoring goals. And sometimes he gets these chances. You think, come on, Stammer, how'd that not go in the net? And then you think, oh, you've already got 40 of them. In a time where goal scoring.
So hard to score.
Until Ovechkin has kind of taken off here the last few weeks, I don't know if anybody was getting 50. And so his 40 today are probably 55, 60 of a few years ago. And he sees the tough D matches all the time. And so he's been doing great for us.
Yes. Any advice you want to impart on John? Thanks to John Cooper for joining us in studio. But from a finalist for Coach of the Year, took the Florida Panthers to the Stanley Cup Final, Doug McLean.
Keep playing Stamkos and stay in his good books. Don't let him get pissed off at you.
That's... I think we've gone through that road already.
I don't know if you're aware, but Leaf Nation has him on a contract 2 years from now. So.
Good luck with that. Is there a better kid? I watched him on the Florida game against Florida the other night. He was so mad on the bench at himself because he missed a chance. And then he's just the greatest kid, and he hasn't changed since he was 16.
Nope.
No, he can take him anywhere. He'll sign all the autographs.
Amazing
he's,
kid.
Yeah, phenomenal.
All right. Well, thanks for joining
Good
us here.
Good luck, bud. Hopefully
thank you.
Have a great
Thanks for having
the
me.
The home of Hockey in Canada here at Hockey Central. John Cooper stopping
back.
By. Along with Doug McLean, Nick Kiprio. Don't ride the elevator down with him.
No.
You'll be bleeding. Enjoy the action tonight. Looking forward to it. Some critical games, especially in the Eastern Conference. And then there's that Ranger-Winnipeg contest. Have a great day, everybody.